What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And see, a lot of y'all making fun of me all the time about, you know, my open, that it's the same or whatnot. But guys, listen, Bruce Buffer has done the same open for over a few decades now. And guess what? It's still on fire and you guys like it. So you know what? Make fun all you want. Say whatever you want to say. But guess what? That's just flattery to me. Right, Henry?
I hear you, man. Bruce Buffer, move out the way, man. Kamaru Usman's coming for that job.
Wait. You didn't have to go with that. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant at all.
A Shot of Lime production.
A lot happened in the combat sports world. And this, not just in the combat sports world, just in life this whole weekend, Henry. A lot happened. You know, you got last week, we had an opportunity to sit with Mr. Benavidez and just get to talk to him and get to know him a little bit more. And something special happened. Henry,
I see.
After we got to speak with this man, you got to do something special with them, huh?
No, for sure, bro. So anyhow, for like David Benavidez, who's the youngest super middleweight of all time. This is his dad. His dad's Jose Benavidez. His dad was actually my first boxing coach. You know, he's a guy that pretty much taught me how to throw the jab, the right hand, like all that. You know, eventually moving to Hollywood with Freddie Roach and whatnot. And it's been like maybe like 13, 14 years, brother, since we've worked together. And it's been super, super freaking fun, man. The dude is super technical. I can see why David's where he's at, man. He focused on those small little details. From the first time that I met him as a trainer, Kamaru, till now, the dude has grown like tremendously.
Yeah, and I think that's something that great trainers do, is that they're able to be around other great trainers and not necessarily let their ego take over. They're able to pick something up that they know that they're just like, you know what? I can add this to my arsenal. And I can grow not just as a trainer, but I can really grow as a coach in that aspect. And that's something that, big shout out to my coach, Trevor Whitman. That's something that he does well, man. I mean, he's able to be around people, not let that ego take over. And he's able to scoop something up that he can implement back into our training and help elevate you as a competitor. So, you know, shout out to Jose and David Benavidez for allowing us into their circle. You guys will have to be on the lookout for that interview. David has a competition coming up in a couple of weeks, and so you guys will get to know a little bit more about him. Now,
what do we have here, Kamaru Usman, Mr. Fashionista?
I mean, you know, I've been doing this, Henry. I've been doing it. I've been fresh for a minute now. And I know people don't want to give me the credit. You know, I see all these polls come out all the time. Who's the best dressed UFC fighter? And they want to talk about all these dudes that are swaggy. I'm not going to lie. Some of these dudes are swaggy. Like the Chito Vera, Connor,
really?
They're swaggy. Sean O'Malley, he's swaggy. They got their own little stilo, you know. But when you talk about the king, Israel Adesanya, he's swaggy too. Francis Ngannou was swaggy. But when you talk about the king, it's like, you ever seen Coming to America when King Jeffrey Joffre steps out of the limo and they're throwing rose petals on the ground and you hear the song going? Yeah, that's me right there.
What's up, man. Well, I tell you what, man, I put myself in GQ. But anyhow, let's move on.
Let's move on. But yeah, Henry, that image that you were talking about, that was me on the rooftop shooting for Young LA out there in LA. My daughter likes to call him Young La, but in LA shooting for them.
Yeah, no, that's what's up, dude. That's what, you know what? I've been, is that what you're rocking right now?
Yeah, you see me out here?
That thing's fire, bro. When I was in Miami, I was like, dude, I'm about to steal that, dude. I hope that comes in. You know,
Henry,
extra small.
I got you. Extra small. Really? Not extra small, Henry. You and I weigh about the same right now.
So what do you think, Kamaru? What do you think about that big announcement with Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen, dude? I got a question for you. One, is it now becoming redundant, kind of like the old timers coming back? Like, is it taking a lot of away from just, you know, it being kind of like a one and done thing, or is that a good thing, Kamaru Usman?
And it's live in Brazil, and that's June 15th. Isn't that the same night of the David Benavidez fight?
Yeah, it is, bro. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm watching that boxing. Uncle Cho, I love you. Anderson Silva, same thing, but there's no way, Kamaru.
Is that a bare knuckle? Is that PBC or what is that? Is that Masvidal?
No, it's boxing. I have no idea what it is or who it is.
Okay, so, yeah, to answer your question, Henry, I don't know. I think I'm never going to say it's a bad idea when, you know, as an athlete, as a competitor, where you can always continue to make a living for your family. You know, I would never say that that's a bad idea. But as far as this being a battle of the greatest at their prime going at it, that's not that. You know, this is not what we get from that. This is going to be a fight of something, of a feud that's been boiling for years and years and years, and they've actually mended things, but now they're going to go back at it. So we'll see if those wounds that Chael opened up years ago really healed for Anderson when they go into boxing. Because this is where Anderson rocks. This is where Anderson excels over Chael, right? And now right, Chael's stepping right into his world.
Yeah, he's going to his world. Well, good luck, Uncle Chael, but... You know, I gotta put my money where my mouth is, and you don't want to know who I'm going. You don't want to know who I'm putting my money on, Uncle Chael.
Chael, I didn't say that. I love you, Chael. All right, and we move on. Oh, Henry! Breaking news: Khalil Roundtree is out of. I mean, maybe not to some, but to me, definitely a very highly anticipated fight. Versus Jamal Hill, I believe he was scheduled to fight, and he is out because he tested positive.
Damn, you want to read that, Kamaru? Oh, that's too long, dude.
Sure.
You want to read maybe just the first paragraph?
Yeah, let's try to blow that up a little bit so I can see that. Ryan, you know I'm 37 now, so.
Hey, that's right, Coach.
All right. This is via Khalil Roundtree's Instagram. He said, I am gutted to deliver the news to you all, but I will not be fighting at UFC 303 due to consuming a banned substance. I did not do this intentionally, and I am doing everything I can to get this situation taken care of. I was using a personalized, tailored supplement service from a company that I trusted, who understood my limitations and what I can and cannot take. They accidentally sent a blended supplement to me that contained a banned substance called DHEA, which is prohibited at all times under the UFC anti-doping policy. Only after I consumed it was its ingredients brought to my attention. Huh. DHEA, what exactly is that, Henry? Have you done any research on this? I don't know what this is.
Yeah, no, DHEA. I can tell you the first D is probably department.
Wow. Wow. I doubt that. What does that say?
Dehydropian.
Okay, so yeah, that's a hormone. Yeah, it is a hormone produced in the body that, first of all, anytime when you're ingesting any type of hormone that your body actually does make and you're putting it in your body synthetically, I mean, I am no, DHEA to make androgen and estrogen, the male and female hormones, DHEA leaks the previous, that peaks at about 25, then goes steadily as you get older. So, I don't know if that's in the sex hormone. That might be, you know.
Oh,
pop the little pill.
You know what? I've heard of people too, Kamaru, that a lot of people who get piss hot too at times. It's like Viagra, you know.
Yeah. Like, so it ain't. So it's a pictogram. Well, not a. Did he get? Is it a picogram or no? From no, no.
No.
Picogram is the quantity. Okay. All right.
Damn, that's anywho. That's crazy. And you know what, Kamaru? Khalil Roundtree has gone so much better. Obviously, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt, dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you do. Innocent till proven guilty, you know?
I agree. I agree,
I think
Henry.
He's gotten so much better, Kamaru. Like, his last performances, the dude's kicking. He's a lot more stable. He's a lot more composed now. I mean, honestly, I at the beginning when he kind of started going through like that losing streak a little bit, I thought it was just gonna more likely probably fizzle out. But talk about making a comeback, Kamaru.
Yeah, and it's also been a you know strategic knowing that it's a part of getting to the top is not necessarily just I'm just fighting. Yes, of course you have to be willing to fight everybody, but it's also being strategic with your opponents. And knowing that, okay, this is a good fight for me. Or, okay, I'm not quite at that level yet to take a fight like this, you know. And I think he's done a great job at that because he's ascended to where he has. Now, unfortunately, with news like this, this is what the world has come to. People are already going to assume you guilty until proven innocent, where it should be innocent until proven guilty. So, you know, my hat goes off to him. Hopefully he's able to clear this up and get this straightened out. But, you know,
if it is Kamaru.
Yeah, with all his recent successes, you know those past opponents about to come for his head and saying, oh, well, maybe he was doing this while he went out there and knocked my head off. So,
yeah. So then that means if that was to happen or if, you know, anyways, we're kind of just assuming here. So guys, like we're just assuming, like if a lot of his tests ended up coming back negative, I wonder if they would probably treat all those other fights that he does have as, you know, as no contest.
Well, I mean, they got to prove because they've been testing him. So if it didn't happen during those times, so you can't say this is no contest because they tested him during those times and it wasn't in his system. So, you know, obviously now that this happened and yeah, he was able to withdraw from his next competition, then now they can get everything sorted out and then return back to competition. So, you know, I hope for the best, Khalil Rountree, and I hope that you can clear all this up.
I clean my hands, Kamaru. I clean my hands. Moving on to Colby Covington calls out Charles Oliveira. I mean, Charles has been talking about, hey, I want to go to welterweight. I want to do X, Y, and Z. Maybe I want a piece of the Nigerian nightmare. But right now, no, he did not say that. But you know it's going to go there, Kamaru.
Trying to instigate, huh, Mark Phillips? Why are you trying to instigate? Shout out to Mark Phillips, Supreme. My guys is pretty German. Hey, why are you trying to instigate right now?
Huh? Hey, anyhow, Colby Covington just said, hey, I welcome the idea of Charles Oliveira. Colby Covington is calling out Charles Oliveira to a super fight. Colby Covington smart. Colby Covington wants to make that money. What's your takes, Kamaru?
Wait, first of all, why are you going to call out? First of all, I never understood why Covington and Ian Garry aren't fighting. Aren't they fighting or are they not fighting?
I think a guy like Charles Oliveira makes sense, Colby Covington, to send on Submission Radio. He was out there saying the other day that he wants to come up to welterweight. So I'm the king of effing Brazil. Everybody knows I run that effing country. Colby Covington. All the women love me. All the men in Brazil want to be like me. So Charles Oliveira, you want this fight?
That's the only line you needed to read right there.
That shit's funny. You want to really come up to welter? You want big fights? Let's see if you're about it or if you just talk.
Listen, this is the thing about Colby Covington is as much as people want to hate on the guy, as much as people hate the guy, this guy knows how to create a big fight. And I think the reason he can create a big fight is because we all know it's a gimmick. We all know, but we still watch it. We still watch it. We all know. But I'm still going to tune in.
Colby Covington is a mad scientist.
He is. That's he is hilarious. Literally Frankenstein. Well, not Frankenstein, but he is a mad scientist. But listen.
Frankenstein with a broken jaw, dude.
Bro, the scientist who created Frankenstein. That's who he is, bro. Like this guy... I get it, but my thing is, hey, if the Ian Garry fight, that had a lot of heat on it, that had a lot of steam on it. If you said no to that fight, then why would you now say you want to fight Charles Oliveira? The only thing that I can say, I don't know when the interview was done from Submission Radio, so this could have been an old interview that, you know how they are, they like to put up clips now and put them out in wrong times, so I don't know when Colby actually did this interview, but If he's doing it after turning down the Ian Garry fight, that's not a good look, Mr. Covington. That's not a good look. But if it is, if it was done before and they're just now putting out the news now, okay, I get it. But yeah, Henry, I don't get that, because why would you turn down a young streaky guy like Ian Garry? I mean, talk about Colby Covington busted heavy shots at Ian Garry, and I'm gonna be honest, they hit. They landed, because even a couple of those videos, I thought I saw a tear about to fall out of this my man's eyes, you know, so.
Yeah, no, of course. And you know what that does too, Kamaru? Like, if Kobe does pull this thing and doesn't fight Ian Garry next, like, he's just going to be even, like, he's going to be a hated troll. And yeah. I'm kind of at that level, but Kobe is like, there's one or the other. But with Kobe, like, if Kobe doesn't take this fight with Ian Garry, it hurts his brand a little bit, because... Like, let's say if Ian Garry fights his next fight, he gets knocked out. It just took all the juice away from what you guys had behind there. And it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous. So if I'm in Colby Covington's shoes, for your brand, if you are going to fight, you got to go after Ian Garry.
Henry, I agree with you. One thing I want to touch on is the comparison that has been made before. Here's the difference. There was a comparison between Colby Covington and what Chael Sonnen did in his career and his UFC stint. Here's the difference. Chael would talk all that talk, but Chael actually stepped in there and fought the guys, everyone. It didn't matter if he lost. It did not matter. You went in there, you talked all that trash about John Jones, or you went in there and you lost. It didn't matter. People respected you. They understand. You stepped in there and you fought the man. You talked all the crap about Anderson Silva. You stepped in there and you fought the man. You talked all the crap about Vanderlei Silva. You stepped in and, you know, like, all these things happened. So it's Kobe... You can't be that guy to talk all the crap and not actually step in there and fight the guy, because that's where people start to hate you. Because, I mean, yeah, people already don't like you because of the way that you are able to sell the fight. But now you're going to be hated. And I think you're right, Henry. It starts to tarnish your brand, because Chael, even though he did the same thing, Chael is still loved because he actually stepped in there and he put it on the line.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I think this will hurt Kobe more than actually... You know what I'm saying? Then his own fans would kind of turn on, because that's a lot of shit to talk. It's not like the UFC's boxing where you can really negotiate. You can hold off for like 2 or 3 years and somehow the fight is bigger because they're picking the right opponents. You know what I'm saying? It's different. But anyhow, I like it. Kobe Covington. Also, I mean, I like the Ian Garry fight more so, but if the Charles Oliveira fight happens too, like, that could just be down the line. You know?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. All right. Henry, big news here. You took to your Twitter, do they still call it Twitter, or to your ex?
Yeah.
And you called out my man Rob Font.
Yeah, but
in triple C fashion, by the way. Triple C.
What do you think about that, Kamaru? Calling somebody out. Out to fight the Apex. What's up, everybody?
Henry, I'm going to be honest with you. I like it. I love it, because it's...
it's authentically
you,
cringe.
Okay, but listen to me. Yes, knowing you, it's a respectful call out. But this is the way... This is the Triple C. This is how Triple C respectfully calls you out. This, to me, this doesn't seem like, oh, I'm talking shit about... Rob Font. This is how Triple C respectfully calls you out. You know, so my man Rob Font is one of my I go on record. Rob Font is on my list of favorite fighters in the UFC. He is. It's just something about Rob Font that I just like. I like the way he approaches the fight. I like his vulnerability. Obviously, we haven't got it to talk to him a lot, and really, he hasn't risen to the top where he's fighting for the title, to where people really get to see his day-to-day life, to know more about this man. But, you know, something about him, man. So maybe one day we'll get to sit down and talk to him. But it's one day. Actually, shit. Why we don't bring him on pound for pound, Henry?
I'm down, bro. If he wants, we can do a fucking... We can do a little score off here. I think we'll
bring Rob Font, because... And not just because of this fight. Yeah, it's a good call out. And I'll break it down in a second. But it's also because... I want to know more about the guy. I like the guy. Okay. I like the way he approaches fighting. And I think he's a damn good fighter.
Well, let's do it, Kamaru. Well, then you reach out to him. Let's call him out. Let's do a little face off here. Let's talk a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell him too.
It could be like a face off conversation.
I like it.
What's up, Rob Font?
Why? Henry, why Rob Font call out?
I like I stylistically, man. I think it's a great fight for me, and I also feel like, you know, he's in the top 10, and I would like to really kind of to get back into the groove of things, man. Is maybe take a couple fights where I'm able to fight like the favorable opponents. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that. You know, yeah, Rob Font is good. He does. He's got slick striking, slick boxing. Him and Cater, bro, they come from a really, really good school. But I also see the other deficiencies too. And I just think overall, man, I fought Aljamain, who was a world champ. I fought the number one contender and a freaking and a beast in Morabi. Maybe you know, if I'm gonna long haul this, I want to make sure that I'm getting, you know, getting the fight stylistically that can fit me.
So you're saying he's an easier fight for you. Yes. You think?
Yeah.
100%. I'm gonna be honest. I don't agree. I don't think this is the easiest fight that you could have picked there. I don't think it's an easier fight because
But he has to accept though, Kamaru. You know, as we're talking,
that's
about,
true.
He has to accept, dude.
That's
and
true.
I get it. And, I get it if he don't. You know what I'm saying?
If I'm him, I'm accepting 1,000%. I'm accepting because you're a former two division world champion. You're Henry Cejudo. You're Olympic champion. You're Triple C. You're the king of cringe. 1,000%. I'm accepting. If I go out there and I flatline Henry Cejudo, that's a fast track. That's a fast track.
Yeah.
To a title eliminator. You know, because so I 100% I'm going to accept if I was him. And I don't think it's as easy as people might think this fight is, because Rob Font fought Corey Sandhagen. And yes, I know people don't want to give Corey Sandhagen his, you know, that he's a wrestler. He's not known as a wrestler or whatnot. But Corey Sandhagen is a student of the game and has improved so much in fighting to where Corey Sandhagen was able to utilize to look at the fight and say, oh, this guy's very good here, and I know he's because I'm very good here too. I know he's expecting me to be a stand-up war. You know what? I'm going to work on my takedowns and my wrestling, and I'm going to use that. And Corey Sandhagen did, and Rob Font wasn't expecting that, and he didn't have an answer for it. So I know people are looking at that fight and going, oh, Henry, you're a wrestler. You're easily going to take him down. But I think it's a completely – I think it's a different fight. I think this time Rob Font is prepared for the wrestling. Yes, of course, he's not Olympic champion caliber wrestler, but I think he prepares for the wrestling. And I think, like most people, when they count him out, Rob Font has very, very good boxing. He's not scared of anybody. And I think this is a difficult fight. I mean, we saw it when Adrian Yanez, that fight was announced. I thought that was an incredible fight for the matchmakers to put together.
Yeah.
But Rob Font went out there and he showed that, hey, I don't back down from nobody and I can get it done. And he got it done.
Yeah, you know, he beat the brakes out of Adrian Yanez. Yeah, for sure. And again, come on, like, you know, to me, this is all a competition. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether people get offended or not, like, it's what it is, bro. I got to feel like the fights that I need right now to be able to kind of, you know, what's going to happen with the Bantamweight division, dude, is I'm gonna allow Cheeto and what's his name? Peter Yan to fight each other. You know what I'm saying? Because more likely the next person that's in line is probably going to be the winner other than Marab. Marab's going to get his title shot first, but it's going to be the winner of Umar and Sandhagen. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, all right, dude, like, I don't want to take a bigger fight right now, because you know what that puts me? That puts me in a position where I'm just going to wait. And I'm not trying to wait, dude. I'm trying to fight and then fight the biggest fight to eventually get to the title.
I agree, Henry. I agree. I like it. And I think if I'm Rob Font, I'm taking the fight.
Tell him.
I'm taking the fight.
Him.
I mean,
tell him, Rob Font.
Take the fight,
you're next. Rob. You're next. I'm going to wait for you, man. I'm going to wait for you.
All right. That was a lot that happened this last weekend. It's crazy that, Henry, the weekend is only two days. Or when you were in college, it was like 3 to 4 days, you know, because Thirsty Thursday nights, you hit the local bar and see what's going on.
Right.
You know, shout out to Cunningham's, the bar out there in Kearney, Nebraska. You know, when they used to call me Marty from Nebraska, you know, so...
That's funny.
Yeah, so Henry, a lot to happen this weekend, but before we get into UFC 302 preview, once again, we'd like to thank our partners, Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports.
Of course.
Now, Henry, last week, of course, we made our picks, and here's how we did. We definitely tied. We both went 2 for 5. Nonetheless, I did my thing with those picks. So, you know, playing Underdog, their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on a player stat, like significant strikes, and takedowns. Underdog has one of the biggest offering in the MMA game, and you can win up to 100 times your money. 100 times your money. Your money, okay?
They also have picks for every other major sports like NBA playoffs. There's no UFC events this weekend, so we had Underdog share some of their favorite NBA picks for you guys to get into the action this weekend.
Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida.
Right now, all new users of Underdog will receive up to $250 in bonus cash for their first deposit and a pick'em special. Use code P4P when you sign up. You know what P4P? You know what that is, Kamaru? You know what it is.
Guys, support the show and click the link down below in the description to get started. Big shout out and thank you to Underdog Fantasy for your support of the show. Guys, Henry and I were in studio earlier, and we gave you guys our previews for UFC 302 going down. Let's get into it. UFC 302 is just around the corner, Henry. And we wanted to do a quick breakdown of these cards and just, you know, maybe give our picks before the picks. I don't know about you. Are you picking your picks now? Because this is my pre-picks before the picks, because a lot can happen between now and fight week.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, these are our pre-picks, but you're right, man. Injuries kind of tend to happen, but I'd be pretty locked in on what is that needs to be done.
Okay. Let's run through this card fairly quickly. There's, first and foremost, this is not the card that you just go, ew, what's that?
Yeah.
This is not the card. This is a crazy, crazy, really good card. A lot of big names on this card. A lot of good fights, good matchups. You know, once again, hands, a big shout out to my man, Hunter, Mick Maynard, and Sean Shelby for putting another incredible card together. But starting from the bottom, we got my man, Andre Lima, taking on my dog, Yam. That's what I'm going to call him. My dog, Yam. My dog from Mongolia. Yeah. My dog, Yam.
Can you pronounce it? Can you try to pronounce it?
I can get that first name. Let me see. Hold on. Let's
copy.
Ryan, you going to go? My man, Ryan, working overtime over here for us.
25-year-old Nyam Jargal Tumandambari.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, it's not even, I'm not laughing at his name, because obviously his name is his name, but I'm laughing at replay that. I want to hear that, how that announcer said it.
25-year-old Nyam Jargal Tumandambari.
We're going to have to call him Yan then. Yam.
My dog, Yam.
Yam.
Yam. Yeah, my dog, Yam. Yeah, that's how you say it. Yam. Yam Jargal. That's that first name. Yam Jargal. Jargal. My dog, Yam, taking on Andre Lima. I'm going to go with, from what I know so far, I have not seen Andre Lima compete yet. So I don't know if this is, if he's a newcomer. But I know they're breeding champs out there in Mongolia. So I'm just going to go with him based on what I feel the martial arts skill set at the base level could be. So I'm going to go with my dog, Yam.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with you just for the simple fact that Mongolian, like, they wrestle, man.
Facts.
And they have their own national wrestling that is super popular. And I think, which I can imagine, this dude's got hands. But with the wrestling portion, if you don't have that, you're in trouble, dude. I think typically with Brazilians, man, they're really good with jiu-jitsu and really good striking. But if you're able to bring in that beast side to them that they don't know about, I just think the Mongolian is going to be the Mongolian nightmare.
I like that. So we're going to move on real quick, try to run through these. This next fight, Aline Perez taking on Jocelyn Hernandez.
Edwards.
Oh, Jocelyn Edwards. I don't know why I went with Hernandez, but Edwards. Jocelyn Edwards, someone who I watched a couple of her fights. She's very, very good. I believe she's Peruvian or she's...
No, it's Panamanian.
Panamanian. Yeah, she's from one of them South American. I know that. She's very talented. I think she's living in Vegas now and training in Vegas majority of the time now. So she's utilizing the PI and definitely working on her game and getting better and better. So... I'm going to go with Edwards.
I'm gonna have to agree with you. I think this Perez girl has been making waves. She's one. She's the one that likes to twerk. I don't know if you've seen her. She's from She's from like the goat shed. Nah. She's from that club.
Oh, she's from the.
She's from the goat shed. But I just feel like Jocelyn.
Post fight, Aline Perez. Let's go to the post fight celebration. How you know? What I'm saying?
Don't tell my wife.
wait, was that pre-fight twerk session she had?
That was pre-fight, dude.
Oh, look how she catwalked on stage too.
Yeah, close them eyes, Kush.
Oh, she
close
performing.
Them the whole time eyes, she performing. Kush.
She walked on the scale too. She had the little sweat. Ooh, with the flex on him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Blew the kiss. Damn. Like she's a figure NPC champion, former 6-time NPC IFBB pro champion.
BBC.
Look at that.
She's giving me the chills. Whoa. Man, might want to change
Run
that
back
that.
Real quick, Ryan. Run that back real quick. I'm just want the technique. I want to, okay, go with the technique and the flow. Okay. She did a thing. What you think, Henry? Technique?
Is that
from 1 to 10. 1 to 10. What you giving the session? What you giving the twerk session?
Dude, no comment, dude. This shit's going to tag my wife, dude. Next, who's the next scrap?
Before
I have to get 50% of my.
Who you go with, Andrew?
To go with Jocelyn. I just feel like Jocelyn's her striking's legit, and if she's been working on that wrestling, which I know she has,
yeah,
she's a problem.
Okay. All right. Next fight, we're moving on. We've got Mickey Gall, the return of Mickey Gall, taking on Basil, is what we call him. I've actually trained with Basil Efez, my Egyptian brother, I believe. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know if this is the fight to come back on with Mickey Gall. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got power.
Basil is a well-rounded fighter.
Really?
Basil is also the guy that you might have not seen him, but he's the guy that took on JDM, Jack Della Maddalena, last-minute replacement on a week's notice. Was able to go in there and give him I'm talking scrap.
Really?
And controversial. I thought he might have did enough to win the fight.
Against Jack?
Yes, against Jack Della Maddalena. Was striking with him, hurt him a couple of times, took him down several times, held him down.
Yeah.
I mean,
every time I hear Jack Della Maddalena, I kind of like I want to dance to it. I want to do the Macarena.
I don't know.
But I agree. I mean, if this dude's got power, which I believe he does, and obviously those Egyptians, man, like, man, they carry like a different power to them, dude.
He's legit. He's got power. He can grapple. He can wrestle. He can strike from either stance. And I like Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall trains down at Kill Cliff. It's been a while for him. He's been out for a bit. But I think this is, I don't know if this is the fight to come back on, even though they don't have a ton of fights in the UFC. But if I had to pick, I'm going with Basil for sure.
Yeah. It's been a minute from Mickey Gall, but I'm surprised he's 5-7. Like, Jesus, man, I thought he was better than that.
But Mickey Gall can grapple. If somehow he gets you on the ground and he's able to get on top of you, Mickey Gall can grapple. I don't take that away from him. I think he's a very, very good grappler.
Okay.
I got Basil. I think Basil touches him and Basil gets him out of there.
All righty. So I'm going to have to agree. Next.
All right. We move on. That's the early prelims. We move on to our prelim and starting that prelim off. I mean, for some reason, I feel like I've seen this fight before. These are two veterans, welterweight veterans in the UFC. Have had a lot of success, have had ups and downs, but this is a banging fight right here. This is a fan favorite fight. I feel like this fight should be in one of the prelim fights in somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. No,
both of these guys should be going down there and throw down. You know, Alex Morono, very, very talented, very good striker.
Doesn't he look like Kane from the WWE?
He 100% does. Looks like Kane, but very deceptive. Like he's.
He looks just like Kane, bro.
Deceptive with his with his combinations, with just with how skilled he is. You know, I believe he trains down there at with Saif in Dallas. And I think, you know, that Saif, that they do a good job down there and get at Fortis MMA and getting their guys prepared. So I think if he's prepared, I think he has a striking advantage against a guy like Nico Price, where Nico is going to be looking to get the fight down to the ground and definitely establish his dominance there. This is a damn good fight right here.
Yeah, no, for sure. But not just that with Nico Price. You know what Nico Price does bring? I know, because I know he does training elevation. He's just a fighter. He's a goer. Like, true. He's going to fight you in every position. So whether he's trying to take you down or whatever it is, like, he's keeping that fight going. Does he make some silly mistakes at time? 100%. But when you have both of these guys who are not necessarily like, when you get a guy that's not necessarily like a power threat, like a Francis Ngannou, like, it's different. So for that reason, I'm gonna have to go with Nico Price on this one.
You'll go with Nico Price. I think if Nico does get it done, it's by his pressure. But
it's fatigue.
I think he leaves a lot of openings to where I think a guy like Alex Morono could possibly touch him. He deceptively, yeah, I know you say he looked like Kane, but he deceptively good striking. And he does have some pop. So I'm gonna go with Morono on that fight.
Next!
We move on to the next. You've got Phil Rowe, Philly Fresh, taking on, this is a banging fight, on Jake Matthews.
Where's Jake Matthews from?
Jake Matthews, Australian.
Oh, he's Australian.
The Celtic kid, or whatever they call him. Very, very, you know what?
It's technical.
He came in not very seasoned to where it was, you know, and I think they did a pretty good job of just kind of building him. He took some time. He worked on his wrestling, you know, he worked on his striking, and, you know, he has been looking like money. His fight with Andre Fiala, a guy that I trained with, was just a masterclass in how to give and take shots and just roll. He showcased his striking, and I think he's definitely has risen to another level. But he's fighting the guy, Philly Fresh and Phil Rowe, who I think, just as a striker, his boxing is fluid, very fluid boxing, good combinations. He knows how to fight long. The only knock on Phil is sometimes I feel like he's having too much fun and not as into getting as serious as getting. I'm here for two checks. Sometimes I don't think it keeps that focus enough. God, so I think that could get him in trouble.
Yeah, I like Phil, man. I like Phil, but sometimes you wonder if when is he going to make that transition, man, of really going in there and just killing somebody? Because he's got the physical attributes. He trains at a good gym out in Orlando yes. With you know, with Lyoto Machida, my former karate coach, you know, Mano Santana. I mean, the dude's got the resources. It's just sometimes sometimes can you put it together when it actually comes to fight day? And I'm cheering for him. I'm going for Phil. But, you know, on this one, I don't know enough, but I'm going for Phil. That's all I could say.
Yeah. Okay, so you're picking, going for Phil. I am, of course, if I had to, at this point, I'm picking with really my heart. Because I know Phil, I know a lot more about Phil than I do Jake Matthews. So I'm gonna rock with Phil on this one, but that's not an easy fight by any means. Hopefully he can stay focused and potentially try to get it, but we'll see. By fight week, we'll see how I feel about this fight.
26 fights for Matthews, bro. You got to consider that shit. Like, he's been in there like with Phil Rowe only having 14. So it's all gonna come down to game plan and tactics. And the person that really needs to make those adjustments is Phil.
That's true, but Phil's been in the gym, though. He's been in the gym. Well, he's been in the gym with some guys. He spars, boxes with Machida, as you mentioned. He spars with guys like Jacare Souza when Jacare was still doing it. And I believe Jacare still, I don't know if he's fully retired now, but, you know, guys like Mike Perry used to be at that gym. He trains over there with, I believe, Julian. So, hey, if he's able to stay focused, I think he could potentially get it done. But we'll see how this one rolls around by fight week.
Awesome.
So we're gonna move on to the next one. We've got, Grant Dawson taking on Joe Selecki.
What do you know about this guy? What do you know about this Joe Selecki guy?
He's good.
Yeah?
He's good.
What's his base? No slouch. 5'9".
Five, I mean,
significant strikes.
5'9", significant strikes of a two.
Takedown accuracy. So, okay, two, so 50%. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think, obviously, you know, the path of you know, the path of least resistance here for Grant Dawson is going to be to do what he does best, which is get the takedown and work on top and look for that submission finish. His striking has been improving, but I believe he's so confident in his grappling to where that dominates most guys. So, of course, I think that's where he's going to be looking to go, but Joe Selecki ain't no slouch. Ain't no slouch, so...
Yeah, typically when it comes down to two guys that like to grapple, and if one can get out, they both could get out, it comes down to the feet. So then you almost have to think who's better on the actual feet.
I think Joe Selecki might be is going to have a slight edge there, but Grant Dawson uses that striking to get into that grappling exchange. Uses it to get there. And I have seen him in some fights to where he if he can't get the takedown, then he kind of struggles a bit. You know, that the technique is like not there as much as it should be with the striking. That being said, I'm going to go with Grant Dawson.
I like that. You know what? Me too, man. I tell you what, this guy, even though he did lose to, I want to say he lost to Bobby Green, he was on a tear. And I think if he can go back to that same guy that mixes his striking with his wrestling, he's a dangerous dude. He really is.
No, I think he is for sure. We're going to move on. We'll see. Like I said, we'll see fight week. We'll see, you know, how things change. But moving on to the featured prelim fight, you've got Cesar Almeida taking on Roman Kapilov. And at first when I saw this fight, I was like, wait, what? First of all, who is this guy? Second of all, why is he fighting a guy like Roman Kapilov who is proven that he can put you on a highlight tape? And then that's when you informed me, Henry, that this man, even though he is 5-0, I believe 5-0, though he is 5-0, four of those are by stoppages, I believe. TKO, 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 first round, first round, first round, second round.
Yeah.
And then you know a little bit more background about this man.
Henry. I don't know. Cesar Almeida, he's got power on both right and left. Kamaru Usman, and a lot of people probably don't know this, but he has a win over Alex Pereira in kickboxing. Like, the dude has crazy power. The dude has crazy hands. Yes, is he a newbie? When I talked to him about him taking this fight against Kobe Love, I'm like, dude, are you sure you want this dude? He's like, yeah. I was like, I want it. We asked for this dude. In other words, because he knows this guy's just going to strike. Now, could the Russian make that transition? If he can make that transition, then maybe the Brazilian might be in trouble, but they don't think so. They asked for the fight. They wanted the fight. And to me, I personally think that should be part of the freaking the pay-per-view card, quite honestly. You're gonna really? Yeah, heck yeah, man. You got two guys, they're gonna throw down on the feet and they're both great technicians. You can't beat it.
Yeah, okay. So you go back. Oh, is that them? Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, scrapping with Alex. Skinny Alex Pereira. And Alex drops him in, was that first round? Alex drops him.
Yeah.
He gets back up. Ooh, that left hook by Pereira. Oof.
Yeah, people are just, the thing with Alex, dude, his left hook is from everywhere. It could be long.
Yeah.
It could be short. He just has it. He just, ooh, again.
Okay, so this is him. Okay, so.
Concussion the shoulders.
Okay, so it's not that he can't. He can take it.
This was probably the fight that he did lose. I know he lost the last fight to Alex.
Okay, so they split fight. So, okay, from what I'm seeing here, yes, he's a kickboxer. He's a pretty much a straightforward kickboxer, but this is not kickboxing. This is MMA.
Yeah.
How do you do when a guy is hitting you with 4-ounce gloves?
Yeah.
And not just that. I think here who needs to make the adjustment is Kapilov. Kapilov has been in the UFC now several times.
Yeah.
You know, been in that octagon several times, have had highlight wins, but also suffered a loss, I believe, in his last fight because Hernandez was able to get in there, take him down. Yeah. attack him and then take him down and then eventually get the stop him.
Yeah.
So I think Kapilov, if he's done his homework, he'd go back, work on that wrestling, on that grappling a little bit, and I think that's what's going to start to separate him. Because right now, like you mentioned, if he's just going to stand up and kickbox with a kickboxer, yes, I do believe Kapilov is more dynamic, him being a southpaw and whatnot, it's still going to be a challenge to get a full kickboxer out.
Yeah, but you're right. But I just don't know if I'm gonna have to go with Cesar Almeida. I think it's gonna go to the feet. His defense, he's worked his wrestling. You know, he's gone out. I've seen him, you know, working on it, and he's confident. He asked for the fight, so for that reason, I gotta go with him.
I'm gonna go with Kapilov. I think he's been in there, been tested, been in that octagon. He knows what it feels like, and I believe this is his debut. Is this Cesar's debut?
No.
In the UFC,
he's already fought three times.
In the UFC,
he's already fought twice.
In the UFC, wow.
Contenders.
Okay, fought the Contender Series, got it, just a unanimous decision win, and then he fought in the UFC. Got a second. I like that. Well, we'll see. We'll see my fight week. We'll see how it changed. You know, let me see these guys' faces. Let me see how they stare each other down, and then we'll see. I might change. Now, we move on to the next fight. We've got Rude Boy Randy Brown taking on, wow. Now, Eliseo Zaliski Dos Santos is a guy that is, first of all, I haven't seen him in a long time. He hasn't fought since 2023, November 20. Was that November 23? I think November 2023.
I mean, just look at the fights. Look, Kamar, go up again. Look at his record, bro.
Oh yeah,
look at the amount of fights.
At one point, I was looking at this guy as the guy that I was going to fight.
Yeah.
Because we were in the rankings at the same similar times. We were in the rankings, and I think he had like a maybe 6-7 fight win streak, while I had like maybe 8-9 fight win streak.
Yeah.
And I was about to fight for the title. I'm like, okay, this is a guy. He was up there at one point to where he was cracking that top five. I was like, okay, this is a guy that's gonna challenge me for the title.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, just, you know, he started to suffer some setbacks. But I'm gonna go with Rude Boy Randy Brown on this. I think when Randy Brown is focused and he's on, he's so long, so sharp. His boxing is excellent. I think he touch you and get you out of there.
Good night. Boa noite.
Boa noite.
Yeah. You're talking about Santos or Bobby Brown? Randy Brown.
Randy. He called you Bobby, dog. He called
Randy Brown. My bad, dude. I'm thinking of Whitney, man.
I think Randy Brown can get that stop. Even though Zelensky, Dos Santos... excellent kicks, very good, well-rounded. I just think
I'm gonna go with Santos, man. I think exactly what you just said with Santos, the leg kicks, I think if he can add that, I think, you know, Bobby Brown does have hands, but I think if he can add
Bobby Brown,
Randy Brown, if Santos can add those kicks too, he can break his foundation, weaken up the hands, and then obviously he's got hands of his own.
Yeah, fact. All right, moving on. We've got Jalton Almeida taking on Alexander Romanov. This is a good fight.
Yeah, this is. I mean, look at the records, man. 20-3, and you got 17-2. I mean, you're talking about like a fair fight where there's not like a mismatch. Right now, this is the fight that on paper it's like, oh shit, man. Like you almost feel like. These are potentially the next guys that are gonna maybe crack into the top five.
Almeida just did he just suffer his loss? A loss to was that Curtis Blaydes that he fought? I think he just suffered a loss to Curtis Blaydes, and
he got out wrestled.
He just is Curtis is the wrestler that's been there before Almeida came in. Curtis is striking improved greatly, and it's hard to deal with a guy like Curtis Blaydes.
He was tearing
everybody up until he got to Curtis Blaydes. So he's looking to get back on track here, and I think he can do it against this because he's small, he's more athletic, he's free, athletic, he's strong, if he locks his hands around anybody, he's going to lift you up like just a sack of potatoes and carry you out of the fire.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn.
No!
My fault. I accidentally hit him. My fault. Dang it.
I'm bleeding.
My bad. But it's a tough fight, but I'm going with Almeida on this one. He's looking to get back on track, and I think he can do it with this fight.
Honestly, I'm curious with Romanov. See if he's going to – because he's the person that's going to have to make adjustments. Because with Almeida, he's got power in his hands, and any time, particularly when somebody has power in their hands, you have to be able to just adjust and fight them different because it takes one hit. One hit will put you out.
True. So you're curious. So you're going with Romanov.
No. I'm going with Almeida.
Yes.
But who knows? Like, I think I got to see a little bit more of
We'll see. And this is, like I said, this is the picks before the picks, okay? So we still got some time. We want to see these guys in fight league, seeing who came in shape, who did the work. Now we're moving on to the next fight. We've got Kevin Holland taking on, I never know how to pronounce my man's name.
Nikal?
Michael or... He's my Polish, the next Polish power. I've seen him fight. Excellent fighter. He's a southpaw. Very, very, very technical. He's got power and combinations too. So I like the fight. I think this is a great fight for him. I think but Kevin Holland is ultra dangerous. He's always dangerous. But I think
if this guy has any type of grappling or anything like that, and he's able to mix his fighting. Then
yeah, but I think he's gonna stand up. I think he's more of a striker, and I think that's why this is such a fun matchup.
So he lost to Barali, dude. That Barali was a problem, bro. Oh, he got submitted by Pineda. Oof! I tell you what, I know the UFC. I know they like Holland because he goes out there and he fights, man. He sells a fight. So it's probably they're probably favoring Holland. So I'm just going to, just based on that, you know, I got to go for Holland.
You got to go with Holland? I like it. I like it as well. But I'm going to go with the Polish power number two. I'm going to go with him. I just think I think he's solid. He's more solid in his approach. And he just... I like him. I like him for this fight. But we'll see.
Speaking about that, man, I remember he did a little face-off with...
Me?
Yeah, with Brock Brohach.
Real Polish power. And you see how it's, you see my arm next to his? I was like, yo, everybody was talking about he's a light heavyweight or nothing, but bro, I was out there thick
and
on him.
You know what's funny? You guys kind of did look, it looked even, dude.
Yeah, I was thick on him. I'm telling you. See, this is the thing. I wouldn't have called for 205, listen, if I didn't think at that point that the style favored me and I could do it. You know, it was just a matter of, listen, everybody's got power when the fight starts, but you grab your leg and you drag them down once, twice, and you make them work up.
Yeah.
Fight completely changes. And that's exactly what I was going to do. Glover Teixeira did the exact same thing to him.
Yeah.
And so.
Tired him out.
Yeah.
Especially when you're small, use a lot of your movement, find the right time to take him down.
Exactly. And I'm not going in there saying, oh, I'm got to trade with him and get the pull, which eventually, you know, fatigue makes cowards of us all. So you wear somebody down enough, he might make me look like Mike Tyson. So that's why I liked that fight. But you see me, I was diesel next to him. You know, I wasn't small or nothing.
All right. So moving on over here. Now we got this one over here. What do you think, Kamaru? We got
the co-main event of the... This is a banging fight. It's a banging fight. You got Sean Strickland taking on Paulo Costa.
Yeah, man, they still have Sean Strickland with the belt. They got to strip him of it. But yes, you know, Paulo Costa, there's one thing that I will say about him. He trains like a madman, but a lot of times because he trains like a freaking madman, like, he gets hurt. He gets injured. He still hasn't learned his lesson, man. And if he does just decide to strike with a guy like Sean Strickland, Strickland's got better striking. In my opinion. Yeah,
really?
Costa?
You have to understand, Henry, striking is not just throwing hands. It's a full package.
No, of course.
And you're still sticking with that. Strickland has better striking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't kick, but when it comes, look at that. I mean, he outstruck your boy, dude. He outstruck Israel Adesanya. I mean, you have to, and that was just based on pressure. How does Paulo's always the bully, but how does Paulo deal when somebody's pressuring you? And trust me, dude, I'm boys with Paulo. Man, Paulo stayed at my house, like his, you know, Tamara, like they love my kid. But Jesus, man, if he just decides to strike, I got to go with Strickland.
That's an interesting one because Paulo has not been looking, like, the Paulo Costa that fought Yoel Romero is not the Paulo Costa that we're seeing today. He's not the Paulo Costa that we saw versus Luke Rockhold. He's not the Paulo Costa that we saw versus Whitaker, that just fought Whitaker. Even though he did get back to fighting form a little bit more, but he's still not there yet. So there's something that either he's not doing, or maybe he's just taking too much of the secret juice, secret sauce, or whatever he calls it, secret juice. But it's just something that's not quite there yet. And if he's not in that fighting form, I think Sean Strickland walks in. Sean Strickland gets
dude,
it.
Dude, this is a good fight.
It's a
dude.
Damn just good fight.
But I will say this, Kamaru, is Costa is fucking unpredictable. Like, every time you do book him, you got to get somebody that can maybe be a backup. You know what I'm saying? Because that's because
you mean unpredictable. Because
you
just,
yeah, he might not make it. And a lot of these guys, you just get sick and tired of them. They're just not going to fight. Like, you know what? Fuck you. Like, you're just, you don't want to fight kind of type of thing. And to go back to that, you know what? You know where Paulo kind of changed in his ego a little bit? He kind of lost a little bit of that shift? Was after he fought Israel Adesanya. But then check this out. He was able to create this persona to where he's been able to have fun with, because he was getting fucking trolled, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, getting banged from the back. Like showing him pregnant, and then showing up with a black baby.
No.
Dude. Yeah, dude, it's all over the internet. But he was
look.
What color?
Look
was
it
able
up,
to...
Brian. Look it up. Paulo Costa memes. Look it up. No, I never seen any
dude,
of these. Henry.
It's on there, dude. Dude, it's really? On there, dude.
No.
But he was able to use that to now where he's had fun, but he's legit. You could honestly say he's a fan favorite, bro. Like people love him because of his antics, dude. Like, he'll talk shit about anybody and everybody, including myself, dude. So Paulo Costa, I'm giving you a taste of your motherfucking medicine, because you like to give, now you gotta receive.
Wow. No. Really? They were showing him pregnant after the Israel incident?
Oh, yeah. They showed him there. They showed him getting dry hump. I mean, there's a lot of things. But because one thing I will say about Paul, because he's constantly trolling other people.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, I wonder if it gets flooded because there's so much to it.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
No, see, it's a tough fight, but I think.
Look at that one.
It's a throw.
Look at him. That's funny. Can you blow that one up real quick? Did he post that?
No way.
This is the type of shit that this is the type of shit that he be posting, dude. After getting his ass literally ripped into.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, is that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Grace Jones? Oh, yeah, that is Conan the Barbarian. Wow. I mean, see, I like the fight. I think it's a great fight, but I think Costa could potentially win this one. I think with a guy, it's tough because you would think the way Sean Strickland stands, you can just kick his leg, but you can't because he's always lifting it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the timing is off.
And he pressures. So yeah, he pressures. You take away the kick.
Yeah, he pressures. He lifts and he jabs. I think. If they don't, Sean Strickland is not the guy that he's not a normal fight kind of guy that you fight. If you don't have the right tactics to fight a guy like him, I think you have a hard day.
Yeah.
And you know what? Because of that, I'm going to go with Sean Strickland. Yes, I know I figured out the puzzle early on, but
you know what it was, too? Hugh Kamaru One, I also feel like at 185, it's almost like he found his weight class, but your level changes was fucking that dude up. Because you had him guessing every single time. Is it a shot? Is it a shot? Oh, shit, right hand. Oh, shit, I'm hurt. Oh, shit. Okay, they're stopping the fight.
Yeah. If you can't, and I don't think Paulo Costa is going to try to wrestle.
No.
So if you're not, if you can't mix it up against a guy like Sean Strickland, and you saw it, he just lost the title because of Duplessis was able to mix it up, take him down sometimes and strike with him. If you can't mix it up with Sean Strickland, there's a very, very small chance that you're going to beat him. So with that being said, I'm going to go with Sean Strickland on that one.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Moving on.
And now we get to our main event of the evening. We've got Dustin the Diamond Poirier taking on Islam Makhachev. Pound for pound, number one in the world right now. Oh, wait, I have to revert. I have to bring my head down when I say that. Pound for pound is Islam Makhachev.
Pound for pound. I was enjoying when Kamaru was pound for pound. I was just like fucking kicking it with them. Shit, I had the Royal Roll too, but get back to it.
But Islam, I mean, Islam is looking. He's put the work in. He put the work in several times. He went in and he fought. Yes, he defended against Volkanovski the first time. It was a closer fight, but then he had to do it again. He decided, you know what? I'm going to make quick work of it. He had perfect game plan. He was able to set up the kick perfectly and then landed, I believe, in the second round to get Volk out of there. To get Volkanovski out of there. And so now taking on someone like Dustin Poirier, I feel like Dustin is just kind of, he's been that guy that you shouldn't be giving too many opportunities to, because one of these days he's going to cash in on that. and he's that guy. Think about it. He's fought for the title, what, three times now? Three or four times, because he became the interim champion when he fought Max Holloway. That's one. And then he fought Khabib. That's two. And then he fought Charles Oliveira. That's three. And then now this is his fourth time fighting for the title. Continue to give a guy like this chances, one day he's going to come in and say, you know what? You're going to have to pay me for this ticket. I'm cashing it in.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. Man. I think just hearing Dustin's, you know, interviews, like he's on his way out. Like he's like, this could be my last. I don't know if this is my last fight. But he continues to keep mentioning that. So he knows that at the same time, like, he needs to take risks. Because this is more likely his last time fighting for the belt at 155 pounds. And the only reason why he's fighting for the belt at 155 pounds is because everybody else is locked in. Armas Sirikas said, no, I don't want to fight Islam right now. I really need some time, which is a smart decision.
But
Islam Makhachev is just too smart. He's too tactical. And he's too technical, and defensively, I think that's where he's underrated. His hands are always up, and as soon as you cross distance with a guy like that, as soon as you cross his jab, he's taking you down. And not on top of that, and we talked about when we did talk to him about it yesterday, he was saying, it's like, yeah, my style, I do have top control, maybe not as good as a Khabib Nurmagomedov, but I'm looking for submissions. And that he has, and that he's done. Submitting a guy like Charles Oliveira, you can submit anybody at 155 pounds in the world.
I agree. And I mean, I think that's, it's a damn good fight. I know a lot of people are saying, he's not next. What?
He's going to take him down, dude.
That's the left hook,
but that's what I'm saying. But like the good fight is going to be like, all right, man. All right, Dustin, are you going to get back to your feet? Can you fatigue Islam a little bit of what Volkanovski did? Can you continue to keep getting up? And that's kind of what got Islam Makhachev against Volkanovski exhausted. Does Poirier have that ability? He's going to get taken down, but can you continue to keep getting back up? You saw in the past, Makhachev did get tired against Volkanovski. Now, what could Poirier take a little bit of that? I know it's a different game plan, dude, and people don't talk about it, but can you make him continue to keep taking you down, but can you continue to keep getting back up, touching his threshold, and then see what you can do. See if you can land that beautiful left hook.
Okay. Small wrinkle here that most people might overlook is both of these guys are southpaws. Dustin Poirier does very well with southpaws. Dustin Poirier fought Conor McGregor as both southpaws. And we saw what he did to Conor. Dustin Poirier just fought Benoit Saint Denis. And we saw what he did to him. It's the thing. I mean.
Yeah, Kamaru, but you're going up to the cream of the crop. That's like 1,000%. It's like when motherfuckers try to fight you. It's like, you can fight these guys, but when you get to the 1%,
that's true.
It's different.
That's true. But like what you just said, knowing that, and this Dustin Poirier has nothing else to prove. You were the interim champion, which means you got a gold belt at your house. You know, you've done it all. You fought the who is who in the sport. You can rest. You can walk away and say, you know what? I fought everybody. I didn't duck anybody. I fought everybody. And very few of them got the best of me. So, hey, I'm good. He got paid.
But one thing I will say about this too, Kamaru, that we have to consider too. Saint Denis hasn't really been tested.
No,
just to go back to it, just to kind of reiterate, because prior to that he did lose to Justin Gaethje, he got knocked out in a very cold fashion. But because Saint Denis hasn't really been tested, he's kind of somewhat been a hype train. Like, you really don't know what he's really made out of. And we kind of saw that with Dustin. Like, the biggest thing that I took from Saint Denis in that fight, he doesn't have that experience, that championship experience like Dustin. He didn't know how to fucking obtain that gas tank throughout the whole fight. The same reason why Dustin was able to stop him. But now he's fighting Islam Makhachev, who's not just become champion. Not only does he have two title defenses, but he's seen the eagle Khabib Nurmagomedov do it. And bro, when you're a part of that and you're able to do a training camp with your brother and know exactly where you're at, dude, the dude's fucking 26 fights with one loss, dude. I would love to have that record.
I like it, and I, you know, at the end of the day, it's gonna be an incredible fight. I just don't like the fact, and if I was a betting man, I don't like the fact that Dustin Poirier he's getting another crack at this. It's like, you let somebody hang outside the club long enough, you tell him, no, don't come in, you can't come in. You letting him hang out there long enough, he's going to figure out a way in. He's going to figure out a way in the club.
Yeah.
And I think giving him these opportunities, especially like that, he's just there. He went out and got a good performance. And by stroke of luck, hey, jump in. Fight for the title. And June 1st, I'm not calling it, but I'm saying we could see something incredible. We could see, it won't be the first time there's been shocks and there's been upset happen here. But if someone's going to do it, someone like Dustin Poirier is very capable of being able to do it. And what's the over and under? He does pull a guillotine.
Shit, no. I see completely domination from Islam. I can see
really?
I can see Islam stopping him within. I don't think Dustin gets into championship rounds. And I like Dustin. This isn't a knock on him. But Islam, they picked this fight because I want to be busy. After this fight, I want to fight again. Like, his confidence is already there.
Oh, yeah.
And Khabib's his controller. Like, whatever Khabib says, this dude's doing. He's just going to follow the blueprint of his, you know, quote unquote, his brother. So I don't think Poirier gets into championship rounds with this.
I wouldn't say all that, but I do.
Am I being too harsh? Sure.
No.
Is that cool? Kamaru?
Yeah, your opinion is your opinion.
Maybe we should be the good guy and the bad guy.
You mean the fat guy?
Or the fat guy and the good guy.
I'm gonna go with Makhachev. The smart money is on Makhachev. Because he is better
You think Dustin goes all five rounds with Islam?
He has the capability to. He does. I think they're gonna work tirelessly on getting up. And not exposing yourself and not giving up those takedowns, because that's the big key here. If there was any separation, it's the big key for where Islam's striking is very good, but Dustin's power exceeds that. To where Dustin's grappling, his jiu-jitsu is good, but his wrestling, Islam's wrestling supersedes that. So I think in the areas where Dustin might be lacking, Islam's stronger. So in that, smart money will go to Islam.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Look at that. 38 fights, dude. Godly.
Dustin 26,
fought 26 fights.
Everybody. I'm telling you.
I get it. No, and you know what, Dustin? Like, and it's not a knock on you. I respect the shit out of you. I think, you know.
A Hall of Famer.
When it comes to all that. But, man, dude. Like, the dude is, you know, with a guy like Islam, he's pound for a reason. It's a guy you want to study. It's a guy that people are looking up to, particularly everybody from Russia to Dagestan to across the world. And how is it that I could use as grappling base correctly while I still am able to throw hands, but constantly going back to my roots? And that's what Islam Makhachev does.
No, for sure. I'm with you. You know, that's where the smart money would go. So Henry, I mean, that's right now, that's the breakdown for our UFC 302. Everybody says 302, but O is a letter. It's not a number. It's 302, right? But yeah, O sounds better.
I like
though,
that. You know what? I never even fucking caught that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Everybody says, oh, 201. No, it's 201. UFC 302 going down June 1st. Makhachev versus Poirier. Hey, real quick though, you know,
trying to go
I was gonna go back to the celebration, post fight celebration for one of the fighters of this
guy. Let's do it.
You ain't even put.
I ain't trying to give a 50%.
No,
dude,
I'm just saying. I feel you, but I'm just
trying to give you the rate.
This is a ranking system. What would you rank from a 10, from a 1 to 10? What you rank the torque session?
I'm going to have to rank it Juan. I said Juan, not one. I said Juan.
All right. Well, you heard it. You heard it from my man, Triple C. UFC 302 going down June 1st in Newark, New Jersey. Makhachev versus Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Make sure you got your pay-per-views ready and you tune in to watch on ESPN pay-per-view. Henry.
Talk to me. Talk to me, my brother.
It's something. There's this post that I just, a friend sent me, and I want us to talk about this. I want you to see this and tell me what you're doing in this situation.
So you loaned $3,000 to your friend last year, and since then she's refused to pay you back, which has really deteriorated your friendship. You asked her to just pay back $1,000 and forget the rest because you're in a financial crisis. Your friend then says she can only get you $500 since that's all she has. You felt like you had no option but to accept. So you eventually gave her your account details to send the amount directly to your bank. You woke up the next morning, checked your account, and you had $5,000 in it. You kept staring at the screen in disbelief, but it was indeed $5,000. You grabbed your phone and found 73 missed calls from your friend and an additional 37 text messages begging you to transfer back $4,500 since she only meant to send you $500 and mistakenly added an extra zero. Are you going to A, send back the $4,500, B, take your full $3,000, C, keep the entire $5,000?
All right, so you heard the question, so... You loaned your friend $3,000.
Golly, and told him 73 text messages. Jesus. Yeah. That's what I'm like, fuck.
So but this is the thing. Unfortunately, this is how people are nowadays.
Yeah.
You loan your friend $3,000.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, you're going to pay me back. And your friend agrees to pay you back.
Yeah.
But over a year now, you've been asking for the money back. And your friend won't pay you back. Basically avoiding you, and it's hurt the friendship because now you don't talk anymore, you're not close. And so you get in the financial bind now, like you're hurting, and you ask your friend, hey, please, okay, if you don't have that, at least give me $1,000 back. And your friend's like, I could only give you $500 back. So you're like, fine, I'll take it. Anything to help, I'll take it. And then your friend accidentally sends you $5,000. And then now called you 73 times, 36 text messages asking you, hey, can you please send back that $4,500? I ain't really had that.
Yeah. No,
what are you doing, Henry?
You know what I'm doing, bro? I'm getting my money back. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you sending back, you sending back just 2,000 and keeping the 3,000 they owe you, or are you sending back 4,500 and keeping only the 500 they meant to send
you? I think first things first, I think you'd question them. It's like, hey, man, so you said you only had X amount. You know what I'm saying? So are you lying? Are you just not trying to pay me? But a deal was a deal. If the person said they were actually going to pay you back, then they got to pay you back. And a real friend would give you your money back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so I just feel like you got to get what's owed. I mean, a deal is a deal. If he owed you 3,000, it's funny though, too, because I've lent a friend 3,000 and the dude just kind of same thing. So listening to this shit right here, I'm just like, you just lose a friend over it because they can't man up and actually do it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I would go B. I would give my 3,000 and send it back to 2 G's. Is that crazy?
No, crazy? Come on. No, you're not crazy at all. I had fun reading the comments of what people would say about this. I know one comment said because the friend was like, "Hey, I can you please send the money back? I mistakenly added a zero." As one of the comments said, "I would send them back zero and tell them, oh yeah, here's the zero back that you mistakenly sent." But for me personally, I get it, but over a year already, and the friendship has deteriorated. You know, they know it has, you know. But one, they've taken advantage of you, and then you got to the point where you were like, "I'm in dire need. All I need, okay, fine. Please just give me 1,000." And they took advantage of you again and said, "You know what? I'm only gonna give you 500." And so, you know what? I will send you back. I saw another comment of a lawyer saying, okay, I would send them back that and just say, hey, your debt has been paid in full, and you accidentally sent me an extra 2,000, so I'm sending that back to you right now.
Yeah.
So that would be
how you would handle it. Because if it's been a year, Kamaru, and you guys, the relationship's already like, really, the ball's on his. Like, he's not trying to be your friend.
Because he's greedy. No. Yeah, they don't care. They don't care at this point. You know, they don't care. They've basically, yeah. They never cared about the friendship. They cared about what you could do for them at that one point. But then, you know, when they how do you have 5,000 in your bank account and you can't just at least help me out with what I need?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're also hurting. But whatever it is, it's what it is. And I think we can both agree, and that's not a friend. That's not a homie. That's just,
I know some people keep the whole 5,000 and just be like, what? I didn't get nothing, bro.
Shit.
But I would say I would keep my 3,000. I would send the rest back because at this point, there's no friendship. You don't want to be friends. So it is what it is. But yo, I thought that was a funny, interesting debate because I had fun reading these comments. And if you go through these comments, you're going to cry.
What if you're hurting, dude? What if you needed more than 5,000? It's like, hey, man, maybe you put up like, hey, dude, I've let you borrow this much and I had to wait this long. Then now it's your turn, bitch. like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if you got to raise 7,000 and you know, and you're hurting and you need it?
Oh,
like,
man,
payback's a bitch, dude. It's your turn, bitch. Got him.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you were hurting.
But you see what I'm saying? When you have kids, bro, you'll do anything.
No, 1,000%. If you were hurt, if you needed that, you would just, you know, I just reply, you're the best friend anyone could ever. I would just send him back a thankful one. You're the best friend anyone could ever ask for. How did you know I needed 5,000? Thank you so much. I will get this back to you as fast as you got mine back to me.
As fast as you got it back to me.
Yeah. Oh man,
year.
I love you. Thank you so much. Boom. That's it. And then you see who's a real friend there, because now he has to reveal himself. Like, yeah, no. But I feel you, Henry. But guys, make sure you subscribe, you like, you hit all the buttons there except for this one. I don't know if they still have that one. Except for that one, hit all the other buttons. All right. Want to hear your thoughts of what you guys want to see more of. All right. So my man, Mr. Triple C, Henry Cejudo with the, what does that say, cuts or guts?
I don't even know. Would you like it, Kamaru?
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
Yeah, you feeling it? Really? You feeling it? I'm going to put you on, dude.
Yeah. the Nigerian Nightmare Kamaru Usman,
aka Triple C Henry Cejudo.
We are out.